Ladies, welcome to our NANO teleconferencing share. Tonight is a very special night. We have a very special teleconference. Tonight we're proud to introduce you to JWOW, a wonderful new organization. JWOW stands for Jewish Women of Wisdom. Just the title itself is awesome. Before we begin, I want to introduce the founders of JWOW, three Cheshiva women, three powerhouses, my Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Feige Horowitz, Miriam Lieberman, and Sarah Breit. Just a little bit of an introduction. The Pirkei Avos says, Ben Shishem Zikna, Zikna Zesh Shekana Chachma. At the age of 60, one has reached the age of Zikna. What is Zikna referred to? One who has acquired wisdom. And so, that is how JWOW was founded, the Women of Wisdom, for women 60 and above. If you're almost 60, I think you can still join if you're in your late 50s. JWOW focuses on midlifers, seeking to help and encourage midlifers as they encounter new challenges and they welcome new opportunities and new wisdom. I think the women, the founders themselves will speak about it more, so I'm not going to tell you about what I don't even know what I'm talking about, so we'll just leave it at that. The way we're going to run it, ladies, is I'm going to introduce each of the founders, give you a little introduction. Don't get intimidated. I was reading each one's bio, and I'm like, whoa, okay. Baruch Hashem, they've each accomplished a lot in their lives, and then each of them will discuss this JWOW. We have some questions, and then at the end, we will try to open up the line. So we're going to start with Miriam Lieberman, who I don't know if you got my email, but now that I read your bio and what you do, mm-hmm. I will be very careful when I send you any written work.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Miriam has her master's in social work. She's the editor of a Time magazine for over a decade. A Time, ladies,
a former editor.
Oh, former. Oh, okay, fine. But
not current now.
Not current. Mm-hmm. She deals with infertility and pregnancy loss. It's in a wonderful organization. She's a co-author of Saying Goodbye with Dr. Neil Goldberg, and that book deals with grief and bereavement. Miriam is the author of The Best Is Yet to Be and To Fill the Sky with Stars, which addresses the needs of women in transitional years. She's a board member of Bina Magazine, and inspirational speaker and writer, and most important, Acharena Chel Chaviv, wife and mother and Safta. So, Miriam, I'd like to welcome you to our teleconference and tell us about JWOW.
Okay, thank you, Shandy. Thank you so much for hosting us, welcoming us so graciously, and I welcome all the women for joining us this evening. Lovely to have you here with us. So this has been a very exciting venture for me personally. I feel like I've already benefited from being part of JWOW because I love to read, I love to learn, and everything I do, I am constantly looking for inspiration, for encouragement, and I find that I need quite a bit of it. We're going through so many transitions these years that are not really talked about in public at all. My friends are helpful, but people tend to be not very vocal about these things. And I feel that it's important to have a forum to be able to acknowledge, to validate, and encourage and inspire. There are so many aspects to be discussed. There's so much wisdom for us to share. And I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to join with these other wonderful women, and together we can hopefully really enhance the lives of our contemporaries. You know, you had mentioned the anthologies that I had the zechus to help author, and one of them is called The Best Is Yet to Be, and I truly do believe, the Ezras Hashem Yisparach, that if we are proactive, we really can make them fabulous years. But the point I feel for me, the thrust is, the focus is not to fall into the years, but to plan ahead. There's an old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So what we're doing is, I really feel like we have to plan ahead in every realm. So let's talk. We have a couple of minutes here, so let me rush ahead and see how much I can squeeze in. First, I just want to mention that we're a very highly diversified group here. There are some of us who perhaps are working full-time, others may be full-time homemakers years ago and today also. There are some who are still blessed with parents. What is a chus that is? There are those of us who unfortunately no longer have parents. Some of us have had this chus to marry up all our children. There are some who still have children at home. So each of us has our own different circumstances. And it's important that we have to applaud the efforts and goals and acknowledge the differences among us. And that's very, very important. And Hashem has created us each differently with different needs and, of course, a different journey for each of us to follow on. We have to follow through. My daughter keeps impressing upon me, my daughter Racheli, she feels that among the many roles that we play throughout the years, that as we enter this realm, that probably our most important role is to be a role model for them. And at this stage, we are really modeling for them what marriage looks like in our 60, what life looks like, are we able to retain our equanimity, to be joyful? Can we take care of ourselves? Self-care is very, very important at this age. I remember when I said Shiva for my mother, it's already, unfortunately, many years ago, 7, 8 years ago, Rabbi Simchaya Kohn, a very chashuv woman in my community in the west side here, she had told me that in her day when she was young, the women would give each other the bracha that the mitzvah of kibud ava aim should be an easy one for them. You know, it's an incredibly, a huge mitzvah, and it can be a challenging mitzvah. We all hope and pray that for our children, this should be an easy mitzvah for them, and they should be able to observe this mitzvah till 120 for us. And it's really up to us to a great extent if we do take care of ourselves, and hopefully we should be able to maintain our independence for as long as possible, and thereby we will be happier and they will be happier. So that's part of the role modeling that we're doing today also for our children. I find that at this point it's not so much perhaps the advice that we're giving them, but I believe Rebbetzin Fegi Harris wrote about this in one of her articles in my book, is that we act as a sounding board to a great extent. They can share with us what they went through in a long day, and we can validate and encourage and acknowledge and give them the confidence they need to keep moving forward with their family, Kananahara. What we're trying to do here is to create a forum, a support group, and to be there for the women. You know, the emotions can be so overwhelming, and it's important not to suppress and bury them, but to actually acknowledge them. And in a forum such as ours, are able to create a comfort level, because the women, even though we're coming from possibly slightly different backgrounds with different circumstances, many of us, I would say probably 99%, are facing similar situations. So if we can acknowledge the issues and deal with them, we all stand to benefit. My dear cousin Susie Nestor lives in Milano, a Penina Baruch Hashem, a decade older than us, many years to come. She responded to me, I shared with her what we're doing, and these are her words. She says, we live in relatively peaceful times with good medical care. Hashem is giving us more years in Olam Hazeh, and believe me, Hashem is watching to see what we are doing with this matana that our grandparents did not have. So we have a responsibility to use these years well, use them very well. It's interesting, the Haftarah this past week, the second pasuk, if you take a look from Yeshayahu, the Parshas Ekev, this was Haftarah, Hatishkach Isha Ula Mirach Meirechem Ben Bitna. Can a woman forget the nursing child? You know, our ties to our families are so incredibly strong. And yet, as we evolve with the years, the role does change. And we have to give our children the privacy, their autonomy. There have to be boundaries set in place for their benefit, and I think also for our benefit. You know, there is so much here that we can discuss. Many women, I would not say many, but there are some who live near their children, are able to spend a lot of time involved with their families. Some live further distant lives, you know, sometimes a continent away, an ocean away. I say long-distance nachas is also nachas. And as much as we miss our children, Kadosh Baruch Hu misses his children, you know, we can see the analogy there and understand Hashem's pain. But the important thing, whether near or far, is to really to respect the boundaries and give the children the autonomy and privacy that they need. There is so much that lies ahead of us still, and to share many healthy, wonderful years. There's a wonderful line, don't worry, we shouldn't doubt ourselves. The sun also shines in September. There is much joy ahead of us. If I can encourage you, ladies, it's my friend Bronnie Rosen was speaking to a group of women, and the line that she focused on was Lech Lecha Me'artzacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu had bade to Avraham Avinu, leave your home, and but he basically was saying, go out of your comfort zone, L'tovascha L'hanoscha, for your own good, for your benefit. We too, sometimes we have to be adventurous and move out, maybe entertain new projects, new ideas, expand our world a little bit, be open to new friends. It's an exciting time. If we do have the liberty, the freedom of having a little bit more time for ourselves, perhaps we can expand our world. You know, we can move out of our comfort zones and, yes, move into new areas. Last night I was speaking to a wonderful young woman, Bela Vorhan, quite a bit younger than us, certainly a wise woman, even though she's not yet reached the age of 60, just authored a book about SNEAs and has written together with Rav Moshe Wolfson. And she said to me, Miriam, she says, it's so wonderful. Women at your age, you have more time to dive and more time to learn, can do it more seriously. She says, it's you women who are going to bring Mashiach. We really have to invest effort. You know, Brani had mentioned the beginning of the pasuk about Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Rabbi Pesach Krohn continues, and he refers to the expression Hashem goes on to Zagad LaHashemecha, the Heyeh Bracha, Avraham Avinu should be a bracha. Rabbi Samson Paul Hirsch, that's how it says it. It was a directive to Avraham Avinu, but also to all of us. We all have to become blessings. How? By being there for each other, reassuring each other, discussing, listening, advising. I believe through JWoww, we each can become brachos to each other. We really can help each other through these years. Next week in Mesoshem, we will be hosting a program in Muncie, hosted by Dora Green. And Dora wrote so beautifully. She felt, what was the importance of the evening? We will encourage one another to further develop our avodas Hashem by discovering and uncovering our own strengths and wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? Like now we have time to delve deeper into ourselves, and it's perhaps to develop all our potential and really use it l'shem shemayim, to further our own avodas Hashem and to help others in their avodas Hashem and in their own lives. If I may, just a couple of more pointers. Chani Gervell talks about how this is a time for us to work on our relationships. She's a therapist in Muncie, a wonderful speaker, author, writer, teacher, mentor to many of us. And she talks about how she often meets with older women. And she thinks perhaps they're coming to discuss end-of-life issues, and surprisingly, they're not. They find they're coming to discuss their relationships. How we can, at this point, we can still take ownership of our mistakes, I'm quoting Chani now, and grow from them. It can be a beautiful avoda of middle age. One woman has said she came because she wanted to work through her relationships. She wanted to get it right this time so she doesn't have to come back after 120. You know, this is the time to really work on our relationships and work out the potential with the people in our lives. Rav Mordechai Miller Zatzal would say that, according to the Torah Shkafa, it is forbidden to feel old. It doesn't exist in our world. Why? Because the Torah teaches us that as long as we live, we must strive to grow spiritually and make ambitious plans for future growth. Isn't that encouraging? There's always the future to look forward to. So this is something I'm trying to impress upon myself and upon my contemporaries also. And I will end with this wonderful line. Rav Baruch left quotes from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal. When he would meet his talmidim, he wouldn't say, how are you? He would ask them, atah chai? Are you alive? What are you passionate about? You know, we have to have passion in our life. We have to have joy in our life. There has to be something that gives us the impetus to rise in the morning, you know, rise like a lion in the morning to greet the day. We have to have joy in our lives. And I will just end now with a very beautiful story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. Someone had approached him about a shidduch for his daughter, and he had met with the young man, and he complained to Rav Kamenetsky. He said to the young man, he was an impressive young man, but he was flat. And Rabbi Yaakov was puzzled. And the man said to him, the father, the woman, he said, Rishi Shifa, imagine you open a seltzer bottle and leave it on tap for a few days. The bubbles are gone. It's flat. And he says, I'm quoting from the article here, Rabbi Yaakov smiled, walked into the kitchen, turned to his wife and said, Chana, do you have bubbles? Do I have bubbles? And they laughed together, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his wife. What are we saying? That we need bubbles in our life. We need enthusiasm, and we need the effervescence of interest. We need passion. We need a spirit and a joy to keep us going in a momentum. And I hope that with this JWoww program, we hope we can encourage all the women as we encourage ourselves, Hashem, to walk through life with an increased vitality, with a joy, with an enthusiasm, with a slavus, with a joy and an appreciation for life. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Wow. Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Wow. It sounds...
Thank you. I tried to cram a lot into these 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. We can stay here all night. You don't have to worry. Everybody's home. Nobody's going anywhere. So you've got a captive audience. So do you think that this... Do men also need this? How do you... How do you see
you know
husband?
What? Well, men, I think it's a little bit different because they're not as much enmeshed with their families on a full-time basis like the women are. And I think for men, as long as they're working, you know, their lives keep going at a regular pace. But I think the most important part for the men, for our men, Baruch Hashem, is that they daven three times a day. They're in shul. They have a built-in network, a social network. Of course, they're going to shul to our Kaddish Baruch Hu to learn to daven, but they are meeting with people and they're getting out. So their life is just full. You know, in general, they have a routine that keeps them going. And the women, we don't have this kind of routine where we leave our homes on a regular basis and get out and see people. So I think for us, it's perhaps more important for us to band together, yes, to have a support network. And you know, when the men retire, they do have their own, it's an adjustment for them also. But I don't think it's as extreme. And also, women go through menopause. The men don't have such a major physical change in their life as women do. So, you know, as our bodies change and our lives change, our needs perhaps are more immense and more demanding than the men's are at this period of time.
Wow, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful. Okay, so fine. So we're going to continue. There's so much to say.
Yes, you go on. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to introduce my Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Feige Horowitz, who I didn't realize all her accomplishments until I read her bio. But I'm going to just give everyone a little snippet over here of who she is, but she's way more than whatever I'm going to say. Her accomplishments are huge. She has spent many years in social services, both as an executive and as a board member of nonprofit organization, including Makor Disability, Services of Brooklyn, Sister to Sister, Touro College of Nursing, and Jewish Woman Entrepreneur. And she was named, I did not know this, one of the 40 leaders under 40 by the Jewish Week. Wow, beautiful. She's a freelance writer, and she writes, and Bina, I'm sure everyone has seen her without even realizing it, the Queen's Jewish Link, the Lakewood Voice, the Bukharian Times, Hamodia, the Jewish Press, Nashim Magazine, Sassoon Magazine, the Layers Project Magazine, and she writes in the Jewish Home Syndicate from the Five Towns. And as I know her, she is the Rebbetzin of Agudas Achim. Her and her esteemed husband, Elisha Horowitz, have built up a dynamite, phenomenal shul, which is a whole lesson in of itself. But let me just welcome you. Wow. Well, I had a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm stuck with words. I honored you before, but now I'm just going to, it's just double, tripled after I read all this. So tell us about JWoww.
Thank you, my enthusiastic neighbor. Katie and I share many things, and she's very generous about sharing her trampoline and her Einiklach, and it's a pleasure. I have a different, not a different take, but there's something else I'm going to emphasize in my little piece here tonight, and that's that this time is a time of contrast. It's a time of greater complexity, even though it's a time of greater simplicity, I think. You know, it's the best of times, but in some ways it's not the best of times. On one hand, we're not dealing with carpools, homework, teens, and shidduchim. We're much wiser than we were years ago. We feel more comfortable in our own skins, and we've largely made peace with our insecurities, with our weaknesses. We accept ourselves. And we can embrace our vulnerability. We can be authentic because we've learned from experience, from life, from mentors and other people. And we choose now to be who we are at this point. We don't blame our parents anymore. Our life circumstances have not entirely crafted us. We are not completely responsible for our children's lives. They have made their own choices. We have gotten through ups and downs, and we know we can't script our lives, but we have chosen, or sometimes not chosen, to grow from it all. Another strength is that most of us are settled financially. We're not paying tuitions. We're not paying for camp and for chasanas for our own kids. We hopefully have paid off substantial chunks of our mortgages and can now afford things that we couldn't afford years ago. there's a certain cushion of stability that most of us enjoy now. And we have wonderful opportunities to spend time with our Einikloch who want to spend time with us. We have lots of happy occasions to get together besides Yontif and the traditional calendar celebrations. There are always graduations and upsherons and chumash parties and askalos gemara and siyumim. So there are a lot of good times that mark our calendars as a family. Think about this. Our parents dreamed of comfortable old age and many achieved it. But many did not witness old age as their parents were killed by the Nazis before they reached a Seva Tova. So we have this blessing of seeing parents grow into Seva Tova. That not everybody that our parents, those of us who had survivor parents, did not have that blessing. Another blessing is, of course, we're living in a Medina Shel Chesed with peace and general security during a renaissance of Torah life in an epoch of financial and spiritual robustness. So, in a way, we're living the dream. But we're not exactly comfortable, nonetheless. Many of us feel weak despite these strengths. We may feel vulnerable in the workplace. Younger people can and do replace us for less money. We may feel sad that young people today have opportunities that we didn't have. And I don't think that's so true here in America, but let me just say, my daughter-in-law told me a few years back when she was living in Yerushalayim that her neighbor told her something like, "You're so lucky," she's a speech therapist, "you have avodah mechubedet, you have a dignified profession." For all we know, she may have been a laundress and doing physical work in those times, you know, a generation of 15, 20 years ahead of my daughter-in-law. But some of us, you know, did not have the opportunities so easily to be from doctors and pursue other things that we may have wished to. And the reality is also we feel weak because in some ways we're really invisible. People just skip over us, you know, when you're in a group. And of course, in the public realm, the speakers and the people and from media and at conventions and conferences tend to be these days our children's age, not ours. We have a lot to offer still. We're smart, we're seasoned, and we have perspective. But sometimes it feels like our skills don't count so much. Another weakness some of us may feel is financial vulnerability. Will we have enough resources to last through our old age? Have we saved and invested wisely? Will we have to depend on our kids? American statistics are certainly disheartening because there are going to be fewer millennials around to support the economy and social security of us baby boomers. They call the generation behind us the silver tsunami. And will we be washed away by this next generation? Another thing that makes us feel mildly vulnerable, not severely vulnerable and weak, might be the need to keep up with technology. Most of us rely on a grandchild to teach us how to program our Shabbos mode of our refrigerators and some of our devices. So it's a time of contrast. It's a time of feeling our strengths most keenly, as well as our weaknesses or vulnerabilities quite keenly. And that's a struggle. And I think most of us, as Miriam said earlier, we're looking for validation of our struggles at this stage. It's complicated as we confront choices and challenges, as well as opportunities. And we want to hear from others who recognize these challenges and opportunities. We want to hear from our peers. You know, people who've been there, done that. I also want to talk for a moment about those of us who feel the itch, the end, to try something new or to reinvent themselves. That can also make us feel somewhat insecure. We feel the draw of something. We want to try it. But what if we fail? What if we invest all that time and money in classes and it doesn't go anywhere? I know so many women who went to school and got themselves social work degrees because, after all, they were doing it anyhow. And now they feel kind of sheepish because they haven't earned back their investments, or they may be making starter salaries at the bottom of the rung. So let me remind those people who are feeling vulnerable about that, that the psychologist Carl Jung has an insight into why we midlifers in the second half of life try to start new things. It's not a crisis. It's that in the first half of life, he says, we tend to go with our obvious tendencies, our strengths that are easily revealed, that we see in front of us. And we pursue those professionally or as in our hobbies. But in the second half of life, we tend to pick up on those more dormant, those less dominant, or shall I say recessive, to use a dream term, talents. And we want to develop them, and that's very normal. So it should be a sign of strength that we and courage, and that we want to try something new and perhaps pursue something that we think we kind of might be good at, but we're not sure. And frankly, I did it, but that's for another discussion. Some of us also feel we better seize the moment before we get too old. Now is the time for the bucket list, to take an art class, to see the Great Wall of China, to learn coding, or maybe get a master's in Jewish history. I remember many years ago that I was in the Catskills visiting my parents, and Mrs. Hannah Parnas, my mother's friend, came to visit her children who were also in camp with my parents. And it was evening time, it must have been towards the end of visiting day, and there was a magnificent view over the mountains and the lake in the Catskills, and we said, listen, maybe this might be like the Alps. And she said, this is not the Alps. There is no comparison to the Alps. My goal right now, she told us, was to see the world. Just like I've seen the Alps, I want to see more before I lose the energy to do so. And it made a very big impact on me that she had that as her goal. And I certainly hope she did, because now she's older. She's still practicing as a therapist, but she's not in such great shape now, and she's pretty much confined to her apartment. So perhaps this time, these midlife years, are the time to catch up on the things we want to do, like the catch-up contribution to the individual retirement accounts that are available for people over 50. Every year it's a little more and more. You can stock away more money if you're over 50, because the end is nearer than it was when you were, you know, beginning your career and investing for the future. Now it's not so far off. So, in conclusion, as we struggle to find our way, we're reaching out to other women who are winging it too. We learn from them and with them. And like Shandy said earlier about Zikma and Rashi saying Zesha Kana Chachma, maybe we have to acquire, bekone, buy wisdom from others to be truly wise old ones ourselves. This is a time where the sharing and the learning from one another is particularly compelling. So our goal at JWoww is not only to create a safe space for conversation about our unique challenges and opportunities at this time of life, but also to validate the struggle, to normalize it, and to hear solutions from one another. And that's why we picked the name JWoww, with an exclamation point, because we want to cheer each other on this journey as we Jewish women of wisdom support, share, and grow together.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's just, there's such a need for it. It's just like, it's amazing that you, three of you, like, just put that need into something concrete, because we are younger than our mothers were at this age. And we have a whole life ahead of us, and there's so much we can do, and we need the backing to say, yeah, go for it and do it, and it's fine, and you're not too old. I know women in their late 70s, I happen to be two women, I Gnapoli, I was so admired them. They, one went to Scotland with Rabbi Pesach Kron, and the other one went with Rabbi Shapiro to Morocco. Like the one in Morocco was walking. It was boiling hot. It was the beginning of the summer. She's really in her, you know, mid-70s for sure. Like, kol hakavod, you know, she's, they both lost their husbands by themselves, but they're both going on, doing exactly what JWA was encouraging women to do. They're living their life. And I so admire them, and there's so much that you'll be able to help all women with this. I wish you all the way, Ebish should give you koyach. But okay, Fegi, I have two questions for you. One, as you know, let's say someone like me who has my father, Zion Kitzitzchak, living in my house, my mother-in-law down the block. That's probably a whole discussion. I don't even know if it's something that can be discussed now because, you know, you have, can I know her, my father, and my daughter just had a baby. So, like, where do I cut myself exactly? You know, you have the Shabbos part, you have the Chumash play or whatever it is, and then, you know, from the kindergarten, and then your father has a doctor's appointment and whatever, et cetera, so. You know, I don't even know if you want to go there right now because I think that's a discussion, but I think that's one of the things that people in our age group, Baruch Hashem, if they have to deal with it, but it is a topic in and of itself.
I think I'm going to just address one piece of it.
Okay.
And that is the guilt.
Right.
Okay. That is the guilt.
I like that.
And,
right.
And, you know, you can't live with full-time guilt. And we have to make choices every day. And our scale is not the scale as someone else's. And Hashem put us in this situation and he trusts us to have the chokhmah to make wise decisions. That's why we dive in the morning at the chonin ladam das, where we think about it and we ask Hashem for support and wisdom to make good choices. So whatever we choose, we should not apologize for, feel guilty about, and explain. And that I'm not saying on my own. I got that from Dr. Norman Blumenthal, who I listened to on YU Torah not such a long time ago. And it was so validating because I also had to make a choice. And don't explain, he said. Just do it. Announce the outcome to whoever it's relevant to and go on. It was so freeing to hear. And we, you know, we're 60 plus. We have some brains. We have some experience. We made a choice. And if it doesn't work out, we did the best we could going on. This whole explanation to your husband, to your kids, our husbands we share with, but we don't have to explain to the whole world. You know, we women tend to feel we have to justify ourselves. And part of that maturity of this time, of having all this experience is I make a choice, I'm going on. Why burden ourselves with explanations which produce guilt, which just make it heavier and harder to do what we have to do?
I love that. Yeah, that's a very, very, very good point with the guilt. Yeah, because if we're Jewish, I figure the guilt's the DNA. I don't know. You know, if you're born Jewish, you have guilt. But something to, okay, and let's just discuss something else. Also a topic, a teleconference on itself. When you have like a lot of married children and you have their spouses and you gotta, you know, deal with everybody's wants, needs, dislikes, likes, you know, everybody coming for Yontif, they want this bedroom, they want that bedroom, or whatever it is they want. So what would you say to dealing with the marrieds?
Dealing with the marrieds has a lot of aspects, but you're talking about being a giver when there are a lot of competing takers. I think, if I understand you correctly, that's what you're talking about. I think some of this, people with large families already implemented in their own homes and then apply it later. I myself have a small family, but I learned along the way that thinking some things through and creating certain policies or, you know, certain rules, that you can try and you think it through before and you try to apply them. But certainly we need to vent a little bit to our husbands and a lot to a trusted friend or a sister, someone who will not repeat. You know, we can't burden our husbands with everything. We're cooking for the hordes. The house will never be clean. And it's going to be very nice to have our doros, even if it's not yontif, creating certain mental boundaries and tactfully practicing some ways to indicate them could be helpful. And everybody, you know, knows their own limitation, what irritates them and what are their triggers. So, you know, we dance around them, but sometimes the dancing is tiring. And so that's
May
what
I
we
interject
need
something
to
here?
Talk
Can
to
add?
Someone about
sure,
it.
Sure, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to say, Peggy, it's okay if I add a line. I think there comes a point where it's perfectly okay that our children can acknowledge that we are not superwomen and we can't always host so graciously. You know, perhaps we can limit it to one family at a time, or it's okay that they know that we cannot do everything. There comes a point we're just not capable of hosting a crowd and cooking and cleaning and everything that it entails. I mean, everyone is different. Some people have a higher tolerance level for the noise and the commotion, and others don't. And it's okay to say, forgive me, I just can't do it. I can't do it. That's okay to come to get to that point and to admit it. And at some point,
I think that's why Jane Wow is so good. Because you guys will validate those feelings. Like the woman doesn't have to feel guilty that my neighbor can have X amount and I just can't do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me, but I can't do it. And your organization, however you're going to, you know, through articles, whatever you're going to do, you will tell the women, no, it's fine. You cannot do it. Just like, can everybody be a doctor? Can everybody be a lawyer? No. Just we're mothers, yes, and we try our best, but doesn't mean, you know, you could,
I don't like the word, pardon me, Miriam, but I don't like the word we're not capable. It's not a realistic option. Let's not disempower ourselves. We really could get it together and kill ourselves, but we don't have to. We will have wholesome, close-knit families without everyone together for this yontif. And frankly, right now, I can only have one family at a time because I don't only have enough bedrooms. I only have two. And soon, in Yirtzeh Hashem, I will be able to have more than one. But as my daughter said to me, Ma, you're going to want to marry grandchildren? When we were discussing how to squeeze in the maximum number of bedrooms and the available amount of new space. And then, you know, I thought to myself, she's right. She's right. I do not, and I'll make you on Tiffin Yirtzeh Hashem, I could squeeze in a fourth bedroom over there. I don't have to have married grandchildren come. This is not Europe. When the height, you know, the familial courtyard included everybody. We are doing other things that our grandmothers and great-grandmothers did not do, even with our labor-saving devices. So let me just wrap it up. In my mind, the way I think of it and share it with you, you know, we can't, you could call it superwomen, but we can't be the traditional grandmother who takes everybody in as well as the career woman or the woman who's doing a lot of chesed and is a leader in her community, writing books and editing and speaking and doing. It's a different world. And we're called upon to do different things. And it's okay. Hashem put us in this world at this time with these kolchos and these circumstances, and I'll do the best I can with a little prayer.
I love it. Love it, love it. Every point is another discussion. I want to include Sarah because I feel bad that... this, but I could sit here for hours and just listen to this. So, Let me introduce Sarah Braid. Her and her husband raised their family in Cleveland. It turns out she knows my machatenista and a very good friend of mine. So that, like, just brings it all together. And she just recently moved to Baltimore. She has worked. She's a lawyer. Wow. I love that. And she's in Kiruv. And right now she's teaching at WIT, Women's Institute of Torah. And she writes the Emptiness Full Life column for Nushim, which I don't even, did I see Nushim? Like, I'm missing something because I don't even know
it's
what
just,
this is.
Nushim, so Nushim was an online for the magazine for the last year. And the first print is actually coming out this week. The first print issue is just.
It's going to be sold on the newsstands. I want to buy it.
So it's going to be sold, subscribe, because there are pictures of women. So we're not going to talk about that right now.
But
but it is, but it's available subscription. If you go online, look for Nushim magazine.
Good.
You you can subscribe to it.
Good. I want to see that. So now you coach women in your community, one second, especially those returning to the workforce, to find the work that works for them. Beautiful. Each of you are like amazing. So you tell us about
JWoww. Okay, so first of all, I think that this conversation that you just had is exactly the reason that we need JWoww, because every time you start talking about a different topic, there's like more to say and more to say. That's how you know you made a new friend. We just moved, so I'm learning how to make new friends, of course. And those women who there's just always more to talk about, there's always more to talk about, going to be my friend, right? It's the same thing with what we're, this topic, it's like every conversation leads, like how many times do you say, well, we'll talk about that another time. So I just wanted I just wanted to make that point. So so thank you, Shandy. We really appreciate this opportunity, really, really.
I'm loving every. I'm not letting you guys hang up. I just want to tell you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. We do have to get home at some point.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So I want to start with an answer.
Okay.
Something that I've thought about a lot is the question of time. And different things about time. And we hear people say, I have no time. We feel the time is our enemy. Sometimes we feel the clock is ticking, and it's not always a friendly ticking. And we feel like time is so stressful. This is not just in the firm world. This is in the secular culture as well. And I even heard a man said this. He said, how come it seems like every other day is Thursday? You know, it's like we just feel like time is moving very quickly, and it doesn't feel like it's our friend. We used to think that time is our friend. We'd say phrases like, time is on our side, time heals all wounds. There's a phrase, tincture of time, that time and patience will bring healing and recovering. But today, if you talk to someone, we don't necessarily feel the time is on our side. And the Gedolim has said, I heard this from our principal, Reb Sabrina Fried in Cleveland, that the Gedolim say that the world is different now. There's no longer a bracha in time. Time used to bring a bracha, but now the world feels different, that there's no bracha in it, which is a different world, and that's the world that we live in. Like, say, you were saying that, you know, we have to deal with the world Hashem is giving to us now. So if this is the world, this is the reality that we're dealing with, what can we do about this? I learned from Rebbetzin Tzipora Heller. She says it in terms of a klala, which is a whole topic for another day. But let's talk about this in terms of a bracha, a not bracha as well. A klala isn't necessarily something bad. It's a challenge or an opportunity to make a mistake. And the same thing I would say about this thing with time, that it's not that we might say it's not a bracha. This is just an opportunity for us, like we've been saying all along. This is an opportunity. It's a challenge for us. We don't want to fall into it and feel like, oh, you know, time is not on my side at this stage of life. We want to feel that we can do something with our time, like Miriam was saying, you know, that it's calling us to action, so to speak, like they say today. It's an opportunity for us to deal with this situation, and how are we going to deal with it, like they were saying. So how do we use our time well? Let's be proactive about it. That's the first word that I wrote down from what up Miriam was saying, is to be proactive and how can we best use our time. So one of the hats I wear is that of a career coach. And, people will talk to me like, you know, what's the best job for me? What's the best kind of work? And how can I use my time well? And I don't always know what to tell them because you really have to start from inside the person themselves. And I always talk about it as the ISATMEH, like we have to know ourselves. I just want to mention something. It might come up in the questions, but I'll just say it here now because it's a little easier. Is when we talk about the definition of an empty nester, it's not always somebody who's got everybody out of the house, and it's also not always somebody The idea of an empty nester is that you have a chunk of time that you didn't have before. It could be that the kids are home. It could be that they're not. That there are still some at home. It could be that the child went to high school. It could be that a child, the last, the youngest, is married. There could be any number of different situations. But the point is that we're seeing that we have an extra bit of time, a little bit, a large bit, a big bit, whatever it is, and then what are we going to do with that time? And that's the challenge. That's one of the challenges, one of the many challenges of this time. So whether or not we're going to be volunteering or hobby or career or job or penas or whatever we do, what are we going to do with our time? That's really where. And I just want to share a story from myself that to give you an example of how we shift things from one area to another area. And I tell people about a great job I once had that I would hate to have today. So this is say 30 years ago, which I don't always say to people when I tell it to them, but this feels like a friendly crowd that I could say I had a job 30 years ago, so I'm going to say that, is that I lived in Far Rockaway, not far from where Shandy lives, and I had a job working in Manhattan in a law firm, and I was given a room with, I'm not kidding you, more than 100 boxes of papers. And I had to organize them and catalog them and see if anything was important in them, you know, looking for a smoking gun kind of thing for major lawsuits. Now, at the time, this was wonderful for me because I had little children and it was part-time and I was flexible and I got paid well for them and all that was really, if somebody was sick, I was able to switch my days. But if today somebody gave me that job, I would be climbing the walls. Why? Because I don't want to particularly work with paper. At the time, flexibility was my most important concern. Now, when I was looking to go to look for something to work in at this stage of my life, so I didn't want to go back to law, let's say, because I didn't want to work with paper. I wanted to work with people, which is kind of how JWoww came about, but that's also a conversation for another day. This is just a simple thing that if there's someone who's listening in, who's thinking to herself, I have more time, I'm not sure where to put myself, I'm going to suggest that the world of jobs or volunteers or whatever can be broken down into four categories to give you something practical to think about if you want. We use the four letters of P, T, I, and D. P stands for people. There are jobs that are work with people. That's like your social work, the social worker, the receptionist, the young girls will be the camp counselor. There, T stands for things. There are jobs where we deal with things. So this is the women who, while she was home, she also was good. She's the shapemaker. She's the cake decorator, the hands-on person. In our community, we don't have so many people dealing with animals, but it would be include, let's say, animals or maybe plants or something like that. Another category is I for ideas. So this is all the people who are teachers or work in the medical field, different, you know, that kind of thing. Creativity would also fall there. And then we have data, which is information. So this is like the accountant, the actuary, many computer jobs. So for me, for instance, I worked in one area. This is something people ask me. So I was a teacher before I had my kids. Do I go back to be a teacher? It's like, let's examine it. Let's figure it out. The same thing for me. I didn't want to work with papers, even though that was my profession that Baruch Hashem was able to do. But now I wanted to work with people. So the question for everyone to ask themselves is, what do they prefer? I want to end with kind of a different idea of a question based on a voice I recently heard at a bris. Now, we talked about Desher Kana Chachma, but Zakein definitely has this idea of, you know, old, right? But we're going to say now, coming Elul and Tishrei, we're going to say, Alta Shechenu L'Eis Zikna. And somebody said this, that it doesn't say Alta Shechenu L'Zikna, like we don't want to be old, but Eis Zikna, but like, it's almost like the mindset. I think Miriam maybe was saying something about this also, that we don't want to get into a place of a mindset of old age. Like, some people say you want to get old, but you don't want to be old. So however we're going to phrase it, we can all phrase it in different ways, but we all want to be in a situation where we may become old, and as the time we are, this is wonderful, and we're living longer and longer, and that's great. But we don't want to have a mindset of old. We want to have a mindset of the growth and moving onward, looking forward, all the different things that we've mentioned already. And that's what I'll end with that for now.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I'm gonna pose you a question.
Sure.
Let's say that this was posed to me, so I'm gonna just, you know,
yeah.
Now I don't have to think. I can just say, "Jay, wow!" Like, okay, guy, this is for you.
There you go.
I could, you know, right. So a friend of mine has a very good job. She's very happy doing what she's doing. Her husband retired a few years ago, and he's good. He's okay. You know, of course, like Miriam said, this gentleman's learning. You know, men have a social network, etc., and davening and everything. And she is going to be celebrating her 70th birthday soon, Mrs. Shem, and her husband would really like her to retire because, you know, they do have a home in Florida, and he would like to spend more time there, and, you know, he is home more, and he would like her to be home more, and she's grappling with this because, really, she loves her job, and she was, she didn't have a job for a few years back, and she knows what it's like not to have a job, and she knows her situation, and she loves, you know, waking up in the morning and having this job to go to, but yet, you know, it is her shalom bias because her husband really wants her to quit, so she wants to know what she should do. So, okay, we're not giving her a psak here, but just in theory, you know,
right.
You know, it's not like asking
so
a rabbi, but...
Right, no, certainly not. So I like this question because it really highlights what we're doing with JWoww. Because really, there were questions like this. There are always been questions like this. There are always even younger couples that are, you know, there's a difference of opinion. The husband wants one thing, the wife wants another thing. There's and it's not that the questions are new at our stage, and the principles to answer them aren't even really new, but the circumstances are new, so there might be new answers. You know, it's like the way they negotiated anything in their marriage, whether, you know, how did they deal with things? Did they ask that Torah? Did they compromise? We discussed this, somebody suggested that, you know, what's with compromising? So some people are more amenable to compromise. Some people are less amenable to compromise. It's not going to really be different. It's just that the circumstances are different, and it's going to raise, different ways of approaching it. So I would suggest that the most important thing now is for the couple to think what's the most important thing to them, and to each of them separately and to them, you know, to each of them together. Like, I'll give you a couple of ideas. Just, you know, the people, so I'm just kind of talking, but you know how it would apply. But let's say, so it sounds like money is not a key issue, you know, but you could have a circumstance where the husband thinks she doesn't have to work, and she's like, she knows better. That she does need to work, and maybe that's the issue. But let's assume not, just because he's saying that he wants her to retire. So if what's most important to her to have a schedule, then maybe she can retire from the job but still have, some schedule of another sort, like a volunteer, something that's, like, easier to walk away from. Hello?
Oh, what happened? What does that
Hello?
Mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Oh, that's Shayna.
Hi, Shayna.
I think Shayna is on the web. Okay, whatever. I hope this is good. Okay.
Sarah's still here? I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I just meant that nobody else could get on the call, but I canceled it.
Or maybe we...
Oh.
Did we fill up?
Let me just finish quickly, and then we can move on.
Right.
Okay, good.
Okay. But the point is that, like, now there's someone to, like, what I want to know going forward is, when people are going to have these kind of questions, and women are going to have loads and loads of questions, how are they, are they emailing you guys? Are they... what happened? You know, finish your thought about this lady, but this is just a small example, this is just, but
exactly.
Finish your thought.
Okay, so let me just give you one, two idea, just because it was something
that happened.
Is that, let's say what the issue for her is not even her schedule, it's the camaraderie of the office that she would miss. But I just wanted to share something I saw from our children's eye doctor in Cleveland. It was their practice had a rule that you had to retire at 65, I think because they had a previous doctor who worked way beyond his abilities, so they made this strict rule. But the managing partner, who was our eye doctor, he like couldn't get away from the office. He used to come in and do filing. I kid you not. But that idea, I'm just suggesting, like, so let's say somebody doesn't need the money, and let's say she works in a school that she loves, so maybe she's not a classroom teacher anymore, maybe she now has a resource room, and they understand that there'll be times when her husband wants to travel, this couple might have a home in Florida, but maybe they travel, maybe they go for 3 months of the year, I don't know. All I'm suggesting is think what are the more important ingredients, and try to work around them, and be creative, and that's also, I think, Miriam suggests, like, we want to look for new opportunities, new ways to do things. We're still trying to negotiate a husband and wife marriage. That's not going
right.
to, that's not
right.
changing. It's just the
right.
circumstances are changing. Okay. Let me give everyone, we worked kind of hard to get this email together, but we have an email at hello@jewishwomenofwisdom.org. O-R-G.
Hello.
Sure.
At Jewish Women or JWoW? Or it's Jewish Women?
No, we couldn't get JWoW.
Oh,
wasn't
okay.
Available.
Jewish Women.
So JewishWomenOfWisdom.org. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. .org. I mean, I'm sending you guys a lot of questions. Okay, be prepared.
Okay, good. So you know, this is we're a new organization. We are looking for suggestions for how, people would like to be interacting. We don't pretend to have all the answers. I certainly don't. I mean, we each have our different opinions, which is great. But we want to also hear other people's opinions. So we're trying to figure out, forums for whether it be an email or different other virtual ways of connecting, since we're not all in the same location. It's a process, as the Canadians say.
Maybe, perhaps an interactive website could work for us also, where people could post their questions and concerns and others can answer in. That might work also.
You're just beginning, so you'll see where it takes you.
Yeah.
You'll have to try to just
We have to evolve, yes. And
evolution. I'll tell you that Tehila Yeager told me, Robinson Yeager told me when I started a NANU, she said baby steps, just baby steps, she says, just like a baby, you'll go up a little bit and then you'll go back 10 steps. But at the end, it evolves and it might not even be what you imagine it to be today. It'll be something else, but it'll be better and more powerful. And I think a lot of things. We're not even going to go what I think, but I've got notes here on everything you all said. But I definitely think that there's a tremendous need, and I really appreciate that you, a lot of time and effort went into even getting to the point you're at now.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But there is,
Before we close, you move on to questions, I just want to be able to tell some of our friends how to listen if they miss this session. It's how does one get to it on
Kohalashon? I'm going to tell you. Also, if anybody, I'll just before I tell you that, I will tell you if. I'm taping it on a different network on Turbo, and hopefully it works. So anybody could email me, shandy@aneno.com, shaindy at Aneinu, A-N-E-I-N-U.com, and I can send them the link, and then they can download it on the computer. And if not, and in addition to that, it will be on Kol HaLashon, 718-906-6400. And a wonderful man by the name of David Panzer, he comes on and he says, welcome to Kol HaLashon, or something to that effect, aesthetic of a man. You don't have to listen to his prompts. He says, I don't know, whatever he says, for new shiurim, do this, and whatever.
One
it is.
For
you don't
English.
Have to listen. You just do 1, 5, 10. Just 1, 5, 10, and that gets you to an Aneinu. He doesn't even say it's an Aneinu. He'll say weekly shiurim. That's how you know you're by an Aneinu. And you press 1, and you wait for the last recorded shiur. There'll be a number, but right now it'll be the last recorded shiur. And that's it. And if it doesn't work, though, the only thing is that they do have to hang up and start again. You're not, as Shana, you can't do redial.
So,
but,
so.
You know, right, they can always email me, and I'll help them do it. It's fine.
You can go out of it by going to 0.
Oh, okay.
And then go back in again, 1, 5, 10.
Oh, you could do that. You could go 0 and do it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to oh, okay, thank you.
0 takes you back a step.
Okay. But that's it. 1, 5, 10, and that gets you to Aneinu. I know, ladies, are you going to come back and talk to us again? This is amazing. I loved it. It's amazing. Maybe we'll get questions from my Aneinu people, and we'll post it, and you'll talk. It's a wonderful place to be, 60 and above. You know, figure you're right. It's a wonderful place, and we really have to embrace it and go for it and put everything we have into it. And we can really teach our children how to enjoy life, how to enjoy our marriages.
Right. Yes.
It's a wonderful time to rediscover our husbands and for husbands to discover wife, because we're no longer in that parenting mode. And it's, you know, beautiful lesson for our children to see that, and to really appreciate the goodness of the Eibishter, that we are in this position and we can travel and do and whatever it is, everybody, you know, whatever fits their bill. But it is, we're not old like our parents were old, our mothers were old at 60, our mothers were old at 50, you know, and
right.
And the fact that it's a tremendous bracha, and the fact that our grandma might like. Our mothers, not all our mothers, I'm just saying that in quotation marks, because everybody's mother was different, lived their whole life. Their life was like, you know, come to my house on Friday, I'm going to give you the gefilte fish and the potato kugel. And their whole life was dependent, and they waited for that phone call. Like, why don't you call me? Mm-hmm. Like, we're so past that, and we should be past that, really. And I think the important thing is not to feel guilty. Like, whatever we do, even with our children and our in-laws and our parents, not to feel guilty. I think that's such an important
Can I just add something? What you're saying, Sandy, about the thing of that it's like not so much. One of the biggest things I think that changes from when we were juggling a lot when our kids were little versus juggling now is it's much harder to multitask, because a lot of what we did when they were little was like physical work. And now we want to be able to spend time individually one-on-one, which is, I'm also living in a smaller apartment than I used to live in a big house. And so we have to have fewer family members, individually. And that's another, like there's so many wrinkles to the way things have changed from when the kids were younger to now.
And our children know us that way. So like what one of you ladies was saying, like our children have to rediscover us. We're the same great mom, but no, we're not doing what we used to do. It's not happening. Those days are over, but I'm still amazing. I'm still awesome. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, and that everything what you said, and that will help them when they get to this stage of life. And it's,
right.
There's we're just modern. So much. It's such a new, it's beautiful. It's really, really kol hakavod to you women. And I really admire you. It's gorgeous.
Can we open it up?
Yeah, should we try? Let's see if it works. Okay.
Okay, 1 minute.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Modern technology.
Ladies, you need to do *6, but please only one at a time if you want to ask or share.
Or thank.
Or thank.
Just like let the panel know that we actually there were listeners on the line besides me and Shayna. No, I find that, I tell you what it is, also it's late at night and the women are tired. They love listening, but they don't necessarily, I would say it's a very shy class. My women are very shy. But can somebody please say something? No, I can't.
Okay, I would like to say thank you. It was very informative.
Olga.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're very welcome.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Shandy, Miriam Lieberman here. May I add one more line, please?
Oh, bakasha, whatever you want.
Okay, actually, two lines I'd like to add. One is that we were talking about before how Dr. Miriam Adahan has a wonderful line to respond to our children that we, or even to our parents when sometimes we're not able to do with them the way we would like to do ultimately, is that I'm doing the best I can given the circumstances. You know, the best
right.
I can right now. Just, you know, we have to trust ourselves and they have to
right.
believe we are doing the best we can. We're not superhuman. And I just want to make you ask me about the difference between men and women as we approach this stage.
Right.
I want to point out to you that for women, I mean, no one ever talks about this, but, you know, many women do pride themselves on their beauty, on their good looks, on their figure, and so many women do have a hard time, you know, as they age and they
right.
don't look the same as they did before. It's not something we talk about openly, but for
right.
many women, it is very hard to sort of relinquish the role and to allow their daughters now to become the beauties in the family,
right.
you know, and it's hard sometimes to bow down graciously. So that's another
I think there is so much here.
So
you're
much,
just
right.
tipping
Loads.
The because these are things that no one talked about. You can't even discuss
right.
this with your husband. Like, he's not so, I mean, I don't know, I'm not saying, again, in quotation marks, I'm not saying there's some husbands who maybe want to listen to the women. But even
mm-hmm.
if you talk to your husband, he doesn't really understand you because he's not a woman. So he's coming from
right.
a different place.
Exactly.
So you need, you know, and you need a good friend and who is in your, there's so much, like, these are all unspoken. Now you're going to bring it out, and people are going to feel empowered. And like, wow, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. This is normal, and I'm allowed to like say no. And also, like I always tell my kids, when you're a teenager, like you're always looking behind your shoulder. Were they thinking about me? And you know, how do I look and everything? I love being over 60. Like I really don't care what any of you think about me. Like I am who I am. I look how I look, and it's wonderful. I love it, but you have to feel empowered. Like. You have to love it, and you're with the JWoww. You're going to be like, ladies, love it, love every opportunity. It's amazing.
Yes. Good evening. Could I say something?
Oh, Bavakasha. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Baruch Hashem. First of all, Tashash Gaha Protest, because I listened to Hazak where they have the thing about the emptiness syndrome, and it's such an amazing topic. And it's something I would like to share. I have a very close friend. We're pretty much the same age, like a month apart. Now, I've been blessed with a difficult back condition, Baruch Hashem, for years. And Baruch Hashem has been quite challenging, and right now I'm pretty much a lot at home. And she, Baruch Hashem, she goes back 2 weeks, she goes for me. I just want to make this important comment. You can have two friends, you can be part of a group, you know, when you were young, you did everything together, you went everywhere together, you went shop together, you went to hustle, you went to Florida, but as you get older or as your circumstances changes, we just have to accept that this is my situation right now and to be happy with where we are. And a lot of people have a very hard time with that. I, Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed, I've come to a very special home, my parents, the Ramla Baha always taught us to be there. My parents were both Holocaust survivors. My father was in two world wars. And we grew up always saying, Baruch Hashem, you know, we're thankful for what we have, never looking at somebody as well. Look, she's in my class, right? And she's at a different session. Look, I'm stuck at home. She, Baruch Hashem, she can run around, travel, go to the gym, and I cannot do that. Well, because I've been given this amazing Baruch Hashem great chinuch, I'm able to deal with my situation in a much happier, better way. You know, this is, I make Hashem's will my will, right? Mir and Adam says, I will it to be this way from my growth. Hashem knows what means. I trust his wisdom. And I find myself, and I've spoken to, you know, very many people say, oh, you're not depressed being home so much. You're not this. You're not like downtrodden. I says, downtrodden, depressed. I say, my mother, she would get up in the morning, she would stand in front of the window, and she would say, you know, she suffered with arthritis, the rheumatism, the osteoporosis for years. And she would stand in front of the window, and she would say, Hashem, look, you created such a beautiful world, such a beautiful, trees and grass and flowers. How easy is it for you to take away my arthritis? And she never complained. Ever, never, never. She was 3 years. I don't remember. I mean, she came. Oh, she was like that. Never complain, Shandy. You know my mother, right?
Yeah, I wanted to say that we all have to realize that you came from a very special home. Yes, I knew your mother. We grew up together. You came from a special home, so you're able to deal with your challenge.
You know, I'm very grateful that I came from the home because I've been through Baruch Hashem. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. I've been through five surgeries, Baruch Hashem. And Baruch Hashem,
I know.
Baruch Hashem, different things. And I'm really...
Can I just suggest that
I don't want anyone to think that I'm a malach and that I'm special and that I'm better than anybody else. That's not my point. I got right, but I also had to work upon myself. It didn't come easy, but I'm grateful saying, Baruch Hashem, this is what my mother taught us, this is what my father taught us. And it's not easy.
One second. I want to know what's your point.
My point is that when you have a good friend or you have a neighbor that's in your same stage age-wise, the children of Russia married, you're already marrying off. And look, one person is her health condition is much better than your own, less than my own, and not to be jealous and to be envious of her. Because this is me. I'm happy with what I am, with what Hashem has given me, with my two other things, which she cannot do. You know, I give birth to a lot of Christmas people, which not everybody can do that.
That somebody has to work on themselves to get there. Yeah, but you're right. But whatever it is, not necessarily health. Whatever it is, you have to work on yourself to, like, I have this and you have that. But one second, I want to ask the panel.
Health-wise, to be able to work on the person's situation, you know, on myself, when I'm Baruch Hashem,
I hear you.
Pretty much always in pain. It's very challenging.
Yeah, always
not
pain.
Simple,
yeah,
but I don't complain.
Yeah,
I really don't complain. That's what I'm saying.
So this is Sarah. I just want to say that when we say Jewish women of wisdom, we're not just talking about the three of us. We want other women to be contributing their voices and the things that we can all learn from, just like we can learn from you about how to do the Sameach B'Chalkot. And we can learn from somebody else how to navigate struggling with, you know, the generations, like what Shandy's talking about. Like, this is not something exclusive to us. We are opening the conversation for as many women, you know, obviously we have to give time to everybody to hear it, but we want it to be a collaborative, helping each other situation.
I want to understand something. Like, first of all, one thing I always say, when people say about online, whatever, there are many women who don't have online access. So I want to put it out there. So you're really, that Hasidus She'olam or the very Yeshiva She'olam that does not do internet, you're, this including.
We're limited.
Right. And I think
we're trying to figure it out.
You have to figure it out. Right, exactly. I'm just telling
The truth is many, many people have email. They might not have other ways of connecting, but many women, like, we do see ourselves as Hashem. We're, like, taking the baby steps that you said, Robinson Yeager told you about. We're taking those baby steps to create a way to send out, you know, some emails. I don't know how often, but so many people, even if they don't have internet at home, they have access to some sort of email. Occasionally, like when we did our program in Lakewood, of the 50-60 women that were there, about maybe two of them said that they don't have any access to any email. It may be hard to be in touch with them for that reason. But so we're trying to figure out a way to do this. We can't necessarily be in all places. And maybe a teleconference like this is, you know, so we're open to ideas.
I already got an email from one of my people that she loves you. You should just know. I'm just looking at my phone here.
I really want to thank all the people, all the speakers, and Shandy, a million to you for getting all the speakers. Thanks to Shannon Monka for recording all of our shorim. This is amazing. Really. She's very special. We're very grateful to her.
Yeah, Shana, I know. Shana really deserves a round of applause. No, that's 100% true. But no, ladies, I want to tell you that the panel, let's say someone sends you a question and an answer. Like, we want to all share it. Like, I want to know
the question and the answer.
Are you going to put them in a magazine? I don't know what you're going to do with all this stuff. This is amazing. Like, I want to spread it around.
Miriam,
are you going to come on a native phone every month or so? And you're going to talk to us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Maybe. So Sandy, Miriam has started writing a column for Wellspring. Is that the column?
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baruch Hashem, I have an opportunity with Nashim Magazine, so I put in some of the conversation
right.
we had tonight is in the first column, and hopefully we'll have, you know, different columns as time goes on. How to do it in the best way. We can't do it in a perfect way, but we're going to try to do it the best way we can, you know, for best next steps.
Well, okay, so Larry, whenever you do write a column about this J-Well
yeah.
in El Wellsprings, like, just send me an email, and I would tell my women
to
read it, because
mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to grow. There's so many different facets. So many.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
endless,
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just you're opening up the spigot, so...
Shandy, can I say something, Shandy?
Yeah,
Those of us that don't have email, but we could get text messages with some information, some tips, some ideas, or some notifications. Daniel Lieberman wrote in this magazine and this article
okay,
there.
Okay, you want to do that? Okay, fine. So that
yes.
you could do that. So, Perry, you have to give me your cell phone because
okay.
I don't have it.
Information.
Okay, thanks. 347.
Oh, you have to do it on the line. Then. Okay, 1 second. You're going to tell it to all of us? Okay,
so maybe... You know,
347.
Well, this is an invitation. There's something called email service, MailChimp, if anybody's familiar with that, where we're creating a list. We're just getting it set up as we speak, to be able to send out emails to everyone who signs up. We're working on that right now.
So I can ask my women who want to send up. But one thing, but Perry, I don't think that's going to work for Perry because it's an email, right, Perry? It's not going to work for you.
Right.
So at least you can
notify me through text and maybe I can get them. The Wellspring magazine, at least I know where to access, let's say, if Miriam Lieberman, you know, wrote on. I listen to her all the time.
Right,
she's amazing.
Right,
let's
just put it out there. What we're saying is for those women who don't get emails, and they get text,
yeah.
so we have to have, I'm just telling you, they have to
yeah.
have, I'm very cognizant of those women. I don't want them to be left out.
Yeah.
Like, here the Rabbanim say not to have, and they actually don't have. It's just so important. There's just so many. I mean, wait till you guys get to Pesach, preparing for Pesach, you know, like, hello.
Yeah.
that's like a month in advance, like, you know.
You want to take myself? Like.
Yeah.
So this is great. You're asking good, like they say. You know, these are great points, and we're going to do the best we can. We're not going to be able to get everything done right away, but like you said, we'll take baby steps. And that's a shame, you know. If we can create to have somebody who wants to help us with managing the texting to numbers, some people don't even have that. They want us to mail it to them, which is an expense that we have no money anyway. But anyway, so, you know, we're entertaining suggestions, welcoming them, inviting them.
We appreciate all your efforts. Everything is accepted.
Yeah, so have that to Dishmaya. Like, I have no doubt. The Avish is not love. There's nothing to talk about because there's such a need. I mean, the fact that you even, like, thought of it is, like, even the thoughts are from it, Avish. So that this is actually happening, it's going to be good. Don't worry about it. I'm giving you my blessing.
Thank you.
And I ask, what is a J-Wow?
Jewish women of wisdom.
I see.
Perry, you know what? Call me afterwards. I'm gonna tell you. You probably missed instruction. I'm gonna read you the whole thing. I'm gonna tell you everything. And I'm gonna.
I just need your number because I'm not home. I don't have your number.
Okay.
Give me your number, please.
No, you do have. You don't have my number. Oh, you know
what?
I have your number,
home.
Perry. I think I have your number.
I'm not home.
Okay, so
I'm
gonna give you my number.
516-239-6083.
But I want to just say, any women who do want texting, who are on the line, and who's going to listen to this, I'm going to make J-Well people, if the women do, you know, text you, or I'll let you know. I mean, I will, because I'll get your emails, and I'll tell them, when you write in something, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So my number is 516-239-6083.
I want to mention, Shandy, that Ametic and we are doing a program in Muncie in a week or two. We have something set up for Flatbush, and then in Lawrence. So we do plan to introduce ourselves by doing live functions in various communities. the sort of
support. Anything at Borough Park, Miriam?
We will do eventually. After Yantifa, we would love to do something in Borough Park. 100% we will do something in Borough Park.
So I would just ask you to just email me whenever you're doing anything,
sure.
I'll send it out to my women.
That's wonderful,
Sandy. Sandy, we'll put you on the email so whenever we're sending out anything, you'll get it.
Yeah, so just do that. So like this, I will,
That's what we
it's
hope
really,
to do.
Mm-hmm. It's
really
we can
we're
announce
grateful.
It. Yeah. We can announce it on Leah Neiman.
And you could, Shana has her own Leah Neiman line. That's like amazing.
That's with Missy Stryker, am I right?
Right.
Yes, Miriam Lieberman speaks a lot in her life.
Yes,
Fridays.
Yes, that's where I know you're from.
8:30 in the morning. Always amazing.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you. Okay, ladies, it's been a pleasure, and the fun has just begun.
Thank you.
And you know what, Mr. Tim Sandy, we'll do this.
We'll talk. We'll be in touch. Thank
you so much. Just to remiss for everyone. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
It's a big
present.
Yeah.